You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
RNZ announced that they receive around $48 million a year in funding from New Zealand On Air through the New Zealand government. And at the same time, they have total editorial independence within the organisation. It's enshrined within their editorial policy, but also within their conduct policies. So do you think that the government-funded label on their account, as you put it, tries to discredit government-funded or affiliated media outlets? Do you think that because of RNZ stands for, it's somewhat inaccurate?
Yes, it's inaccurate because it makes kind of RT and RNZ the same kind of outfit. That's what it's attempting to do, right? It's attempting to say that these are all just going to fill you with government, state propaganda. That's what he's attempting to do. And remember, again, as somebody who's a member of the hard right, he is ontologically opposed to anything to do with the government and the state, apart from, of course, when the state is giving him huge handouts in terms of funding. He's all right with that. So I think it's inaccurate, because what it's trying to is conflating one type of government outlet with something that's publicly funded. So there's a difference between a state broadcaster like RT and what you might call a state broadcaster like RNZ, because what we're talking about here is a public institution that's democratically accountable.
Well, the BBC would be the same, would be under the same boat, wouldn't it?
The BBC would be the same, although the BBC is a little bit more complicated at the moment, because I don't think, I mean, the BBC has always been a defender of the establishment, but it's been quite paternal in its history. And it's also pursued a very sort of liberal, multicultural approach. And it has its supposed independence from the government. But I can't remember a time in Britain where the BBC has been so closely aligned to the party in power.
And I mean, another
amount of senior conservatives that work at the BBC.
Yeah.
So the BBC is similar to RNZ or CBC in Canada. It's quite interesting. Somebody's noted that after CBC in Canada threatened they would pull away from Twitter after being given this sort of state media tag, he then went back to Musk went back to Twitter and got them to add that it's 69% owned, right? Because he's such a child, he needs to play these stupid games with people. They threat to pull away, so he's amended state run tag on there to 69% state run. But I think this is what's so complicated about Twitter and Musk at the moment, is that on the one hand, he's trying to present this as an attempt by him and Twitter to counter disinformation. But at the same time, it is a prime example of disinformation tactics, reducing public institutions or public services that are independent of government, presenting them as equivalent to state-funded, you know, state authoritarian state mouthpieces. That is an act of disinformation. So his very attempt to present Twitter as countering disinformation is an act of disinformation. And this is how Musk operates. This is why he is a profoundly dangerous man. He is deeply opposed to democracy. He reduces democracy to a very libertarian view, which is that he's like Peter Thiel, right? Peter Thiel has expressly said that democracy is a counter to freedom. And what he means is to his freedom, right? Because democracy holds people accountable. That's the whole point of democracy, is accountability. They don't want any form of accountability. So this is an intriguing moment in our media history, right? And it's a further complexification or a further development in the whole strategy of disinformation. And Musk is absolutely central to the politics of disinformation. It's what he wants, because when people don't know what to believe, they don't believe anything, and it again kind of liberates these people from all forms of accountability. It's Steve Bannon's strategy, right, where propaganda is not about pumping out specific messages. It's, in his words, it's flooding the zone with shit so that nobody knows what to believe, right?
Absolutely.
And this is a classic example of that, where Twitter is now both supposedly anti-disinformation, and in that very claim that it is making, it is exercising the strategy of disinformation. And this is the genius of contemporary forms of propaganda. It's not propaganda as we know it, it's something else. And so labeling all of these publicly funded, democratically accountable, independent broadcasting corporations as state media is the latest strategy in the exercise of disinformation. And it's very, very important that people understand that.
So following on from wanting people to understand, what would you urge our listeners to consider when they're, you know, bombarded or faced with Twitter's very, very upfront and very controversial, editorially independent but government-funded media outlets such as RNZ?
Well, I think it's that they need to understand the nature of their own public services, and how those public services are funded, and how they're independent, and how they're accountable. They need to be able to understand the difference between a state media in China, state media in Russia, and state media in Canada, and state media in New Zealand, right? They need to understand that difference. Personally, I would request everybody leaves Twitter. I don't think it is helpful in any way to our democracy. I think it's deeply damaging. I mean, another related issue is the way that he's moved from verification, where on Twitter, because it was anonymous, you could be verified as the person that is actually named on the account, right, to now the new sort of Twitter blue, where everybody gets, in quote marks, verified if they pay money. So now, you know, people look at Twitter and everybody's got the blue check or whatever it is now, and there's still that legacy of feeling that that's verification, but really verification is simply what you pay for. So truth has now been reduced to anybody that's prepared to pay money to him, right? So on all levels, Twitter is deeply, deeply problematic. And what concerns me most is the fact that these very large broadcasters, I mean, Radio New Zealand is much smaller than CBC or ABC, for example. But these broadcasters are now scared to leave Twitter. They should all just leave and go and set up on Mastodon, for example. That's where they should be. They should all just leave, but they're actually scared to leave Twitter. And again, this is profoundly problematic for our democracies, because all of our broadcasting corporations, our publicly funded, democratically accountable, independent broadcasters, are actually scared to leave Twitter. That's how powerful Twitter is. Twitter now potentially dominates our mediascape in a way that no company has done so before, and it's profoundly disturbing. I mean, I would very much like him to put on News Talk ZB, for example, why doesn't he put corporate mouthpiece on that, right? Why is he only doing it
to absolutely
state-funded broadcasters?
Well, I mean, NZME gets
private broadcasters are corporate mouthpieces.
Yeah,
but he doesn't do anything about that, because in his world, anything that's private and corporate is good, and anything that's public and state-owned is bad, and it's that simple.
You know, NZME, which is the owner of, you know, the Herald and News Talk and other radio stations, which are quite prominent in Aotearoa, haven't received the label either on their Twitter account.
Yeah,
but this
go on.
Do you think that this is kind of a wider reflection of the privatization of industry within the social media landscape, but also the inherent control that that can have when the monopolization of media and social media can occur?
Yeah, yeah. What concerns me about this, and I also find interesting, is the fact that a radio station like News Talk ZB does not get labeled corporate mouthpiece. He's chosen to go after state-funded public services because in his world, anything to do with the state and government and the public is the enemy, whereas anything that's private and corporate is good. And I think that is a major problem, and it signals to the growing dominance of privatized corporate and ultimately, I think, undemocratic media that sort of dominate the airwaves and dominate the information space.
Yeah, absolutely. And following on from that, you know, CCTV, they're a China-affiliated media outlet, and they've been given that label on Twitter too. Mm. But, you know, if there's that association between government-funded media like RNZ and that label, and then there's CCTV and RT, which are given similar labels too, do you think that that inherently creates the association with RNZ to media outlets like CCTV and RT?
And yeah, I think that's the point. I think this is what I'm saying about, you know, he's presenting it because Twitter has been accused of, and in my opinion largely is, a platform for disinformation. One way he's trying to counter that is by signaling something is state media, where, you know, we know that RT is a propaganda machine and we know that Chinese TV is a propaganda machine. So the idea is that, yes, he's now guarding against disinformation. But the fact that he's labeling something like RNZ in the same category as something like RT or Chinese TV is itself an act of disinformation. And it's very, very important that people understand that his claim to be fighting disinformation is an act within the strategy of disinformation, right?
Yeah.
That's the core of this.
Yeah, and do you think that as a whole, Twitter should just scrap this whole idea of labeling outlets, or do you think it should be reevaluated? And actually, how do you think that this can be better effective so that it, you know, eradicates disinformation and misinformation, rather than fuel distrust in media outlets such as RNZ?
If Elon Musk really cared about fighting disinformation, he would distinguish between genuine authoritarian propaganda outlets like CCTV in China and RT in Russia, right? And he would differentiate those from publicly funded, democratically accountable, editorially independent outfits like RNZ and CBC and BBC, although BBC less so these days. But he's not interested in that, right? He's not interested in that. If he wanted to fight disinformation, he'd also return to the old verification system where you knew that if somebody had a blue tick, that was the actual person, and they were some kind of authority if they were tweeting about news or any kind of journalistic coverage. You'd know they were a trusted voice, but he's not interested in that, right? Anybody who pays him now becomes verified. So he has no genuine interest in disinformation or fighting it. He really is only interested in promoting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is part of that strategy to promote disinformation.
Yeah.
It's completely disingenuous and dangerous.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.